TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, among others. They'll do all of that, so you can do literally anything else. You have better things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. Let TruGreen take care of all the hard work it takes to get a great lawn, while you take care of everything else on your to-do list. Get started today by visiting TruGreen.com. Because we all love a beautiful lawn, but not all the work that it takes to maintain it. So, you do you. Let TruGreen do your lawn care. Visit TruGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed. You can trust TruGreen to give you the best lawn because they're the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. Visit TruGreen.com today. That's TruGreen.com.
Welcome back to the First Cut Podcast, post CJ Cup, post, I can't ever remember the name, the Challenge Japan Skins Games, middle of the night, something. I don't know. What are we calling that, Mark?
I think you nailed it. I'm going to go with what you called the MGM Resorts Challenge Japan Skins.
There's a lot going on there. I'm here with Mark Immelman. We're going to talk about the Japan Skins. We're going to talk about the CJ Cup. How was your weekend, Mark?
Don't ask me about football. weekend was great, though. We've got some family in from Australia, and we went to Atlanta, which is always fun, and went to go watch Cirque du Soleil, which is incredible. Ooh. Yeah, so I had a good time, man, and watched a little golf late last night. I was all up for that thing, set the alarm, popped awake, watched the first few holes, and I was like, yeah, really? And then it got a bit better. I guess it's why, remember that match thing between Phil and Tiger? Well, I sort of got a sense for that going on last night. I was like, okay, this is cool, but yeah, really? I'm giving up sleep for this?
Yeah, I know. Let's get to that in a second. Let's start with the CJ Cup. So Justin Thomas wins at 20 under. He beats Danny Lee by 2. And then a group of Hideki, Gary Woodland, and Cam Smith by 5. He shot a 67 on Sunday, which was pretty impressive to kind of close that out. His best round was a 63 on Friday. He was pretty locked in on that 63. But, you know, for me, Mark, the big takeaway with this is if you look historically, the group, and Justin Ray had this great stat. He said most PGA Tour wins before the age of 27. This is in the last 3 decades, so in the last 30 years. Tiger's got 34 wins before the age of 27, and then Justin Thomas, Rory, and Spieth all had 11, and Phil, it looks like, had 10 before turning 27. So Tiger with 34, JT, Rory, and Spieth with 11. I mean, we're talking about historically impressive stuff with Justin Thomas.
Yeah, well, look, he certainly is a player for the now that we all know. The talent is palpable. You watch him play and you just see that there's something special going on. You don't fall into the PGA Tour Player of the Year by accident. So the thing that jumps out at me is not just the play, but how many times he shot 63 or lower. And I believe Justin Ray had a number to that too, but it's been ridiculous how many 61s, 2s, and 3s he's shot. I called it one of his 59 at the Sony Open in Hawaii a couple of years ago, and that looked so easy. It was crazy. So his propensity to shoot so low, like 20 under par and lower, and then the fact that I saw this number, which caught my attention in a big way, that he's converted 8 of 11 54-hole leads, which is just insane. I mean, think of all the players that have had 3-round leads and then someone's chased them down or something's happened, you know, a late mistake or whatever the case might be, where Justin Thomas, I mean, that success rate is off the charts. And so I'm looking at a guy who's got a game for all seasons, and apparently He's got the mindset to shoot low, and then to the on top of that, he's just got this mindset to close out the thing come hell or high water. And so that just makes it all the more impressive to me that he held off Danny Lee, who for all intents and purposes had the lion's share of the fans' support over there. So it was a big win from Justin Thomas.
Yeah, I like that you mentioned the mental thing. I wrote about this on, I guess it was last Thursday, so it was after we talked last week, but I always go back to, remember when Spieth was just kind of burning it down in 15, he wins five times, two majors, and Justin Thomas that year was barely ranked in the top 100 in the world, and I just think it's got to be so difficult if you're Justin Thomas to watch Spieth do that and yep. and kind of stay in your lane and keep doing your thing, because this is somebody that you're like, I mean, I'm sure he thinks this, like, I'm better than this guy, or at least I'm as good as this guy, or I have been growing up. And I always go back to that because I was really impressed by how mentally he just kind of stayed the course. And it's paid off to the point that, like, I think it's a pretty universal opinion that if you look at golf right now, Justin Thomas is just better than Jordan Spieth. That doesn't necessarily mean he's going to have a more accomplished career, but in terms of who's better right now, it's JT.
Oh, without a doubt. And you bring up a good point. And to that, I've got to give some props to Jimmy Johnson. He's a longtime captain. And I know Jimmy from way back in the day when he was playing golf in South Africa as a professional.
Yeah.
And I, in fact, caddied for the guy. So, I mean, I've seen all ports with Jimmy Johnson. And he is just such a wise soul. He's so easygoing. He's softly spoken. And he's the perfect foil for Justin. Then he comes in there, and he's worked for Nick Price, Hall of Famer. He's worked for Steve Stricker, potentially a future Hall of Famer. There's still stuff to be done there. And then he comes to Justin Thomas, all the talent in the world. And JT, to his credit, listens to Jimmy's wisdom and his counsel and his experience, which is vast. And so Jimmy has shepherded him through this entire journey very, very well. And you can see a combination now that might be one for the ages. And if they stay together with Justin remaining healthy, you know, I think there's many more victories out in front of the two of them.
Yeah, I agree. I think you add him if he was – I mean, he was probably already on the list. But if not, then you add him to the list of guys that in 2020 are going to make a run at what Brooks Koepka is doing in the golf world. What else with the CJ Cup? So you wanted to talk about – your pick and my pick. I'll go first. My pick was Mark Leishman. Didn't go well. He was T43. Uh-huh. He only shot one round in the 60s. And I mean, I had JT in my top 10. Do we count that?
Yeah, you can have that.
He finished in the top 10.
Okay, well, we're going through picks. I had Justin Thomas to win. I had Ben on as a sleeper, tied for sixth, and then he had that horrid 1-9 holes in the third round where I think he made like a quad or something stupid like that. And then I also had Sung J.M., who finished in the tie just inside the top 40 at 5 under par. So one up to me this week, boss.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely got me. The JT call was a good – I think just every Asian event now, I'm just going to pick JT. It seems like he wins all of them. Mm-hmm. So I'm just – it's just an auto JT pick. I'll pick him this week at the Zozo to go back to back. Speaking of events in Asia.
May I really fast? He turned my head, and I shouldn't say this because he turns my head all of the time. Cameron Smith with a tie for third, President's Cupper for Captain Ernie Els. Man, that was, I think, just what Captain Els wanted to see because, you know, some of his form boys haven't been playing that well. And we saw by Jason Day, he's hardly looking convincing. So to have an Australian playing really well, Adams playing pretty well, I think that's a big deal for Captain Els and the morale in that international captains group right now.
Yeah, Cam Smith's a stud. I think you can make the case for him as just consistently one of the three or five most underrated guys in the world. That he'll pop up and you'll be like, oh yeah, Cam Smith's unbelievable. You know, he hasn't won a ton worldwide, but he's always like, I mean, I think he finished top six at the Masters a couple years ago. He's just, he's really good. He's really consistent, and he's a great player. So, speaking of events in Asia, Jason yeah. Day won a cool 210K, which mm-hmm. is like finishing T7, I think, at the CJ Cup.
Stop it.
You stayed up for this. I watched all the highlights. It wasn't the best golf we've ever seen. What any big takeaways from the Skins game between him and Tiger and Rory and Hideki?
Well, like I said in our previous podcast, I was really excited to watch this thing. And yesterday afternoon, I had some middle school golf I went and watched, which was fun. And then I got home, had some dinner. I went and watched something random and fell asleep. And the alarm went off at 12 o'clock a.m. I pop awake. I'm on the couch. I'm all jacked like you and I normally do for some late night golf somewhere. And the first few holes were like, wow. I mean, the course looked spectacular. The fans were out en masse, and you just got four guys that couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. I mean, they were hitting it all over the place, and guys are winning holes with pars. In fact, Tiger, that first par three or the second one, he's the only guy that makes three, and three other guys hit the ball in the penalty area, the water, to the right of the green. So I was like, "Ew, I'm not so sure right now." But then it did amp up, and it started for me with one of those challenge holes where they brought the rugby legends in with Brian and a couple of the other guys there. And that was fun. And then Hideki makes the big putt and Abana jumps on his shoulders, which was, I'm sure Hideki didn't want with his big rugby stud landing on you. And so then it sort of amped up some and you could feel a little mojo going on and there were a few more birdies. And then the second challenge hole, that one club thing I thought was very cool. Listening into the players and getting their natural sound was lots of fun. So it got better for me. As far as the takeaways, look, apparently Japan loves golf. And to see all those crowds out there and their polite clapping and cheering, it was pretty cool to see. And I'm excited that there's a PGA Tour event in Japan. And this is slated, I believe, to continue through 2025 or something, right?
Yeah, I want to talk about if we'll do this at the end, but I want to talk about who you'd like to see with a if the FCC wasn't involved and we could just say whatever we wanted on these broadcasts. I want to see who you would have in this format. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Stuff like this, it's so hard because it's impossible to make it feel unscripted because it is scripted, like by definition. And so I just think it makes it hard on those guys to, because you're essentially telling them like, go out and just be yourself, and it's like, well, you're just being forced into this like weird, awkward situation, and I think that makes the golf hard. I mean, we saw that with Phil and Tiger last year. The golf was horrendous, and I think you saw again pieces of that this time around as well. Here's my biggest takeaway, Mark, and I want to see if there's anything that you took away in terms of like what you really, really liked or would use in the future. The one club thing is awesome. Yeah. Like it, and you can do a lot of different stuff with that, right? You can go three clubs. You can go, if you lose a hole, you got to take out a club. There's innumerable things that you can do. And to watch, I mean, the clip they had of Rory saying, I think I'm going to go five wood. It was like a 608 yard par five. And Tiger's like, how good do you feel? I mean, it was that was a cool thing, and it's fun to hear those guys talk about that. I don't know, just kind of intricacies of the game that we don't normally hear them talk about.
I love that too. In fact, at my team practice this afternoon, none of them watched, strangely enough, my men's golf team, and so I said to them, my big takeaway, and it was something I did on my own instructional podcast, was that, you know, playing with one club is a great way to learn creativity. It's a great way to learn course management because you have to think a few shots ahead and you could see it in that situation. And it's a great way to, you know, understand trajectory and how to make the ball go farther or shorter and to play to yardage. So it teaches a lot of imagination and such. And then, I mean, that bunker shot that Jason Day hit with a 6-iron.
Yeah.
That was Seve-esque. And you know, when you start to go that way for me, then I start to get excited. And that's kind of when I did. You know, Rory made the birdie there on 10 to win a skin, and then the thing opened up some. And there was always the banter and the chatter, but the golf got better then. And when the golf got better and then they had that one club thing, that's when I started getting all amped about it.
Yeah, anything that forces these guys into situations where they have to hit shots that normal humans couldn't even try, I'm a proponent of that. because I think it shows. I mean, Rory hits this flop shot. I can't remember what hole it was on, but he hits this flop shot, and you're like, well, in a normal tournament, he probably wouldn't even try that. But because it's an exhibition, because he's sort of like showing off, like I want to see more of that because I think it sort of highlights how good these guys actually are.
Well, I was looking at that flop shot, and that thing was incredible. But I was thinking, man, there's gallery just about 20 yards beyond the top. The front edge of the club looking upward as he's swinging through that thing. I mean, that was seriously, seriously sexy. And so I was like, whoa, that's pretty cool too. To the whole Skins thing, though, I think back, and maybe I'm dating myself, to those original Skins games with, like, you know, Jack and Trevino and Arnold and Gary. And you know, that was sort of the golden era of it for me. But you always had Fuzzy Zeller or Lee Trevino or someone who was kind of, he was the natural sound. He was the guy doing the ribbing and the chirping and stuff like that. And that seemed less contrived, really, because you knew that's what Trevino was like. So, I mean, I enjoyed the banter last night. I just found it a bit disjointed with the sound because, you know, I can imagine being an on-course announcer, you want to add something to what you're seeing, but then you don't want to speak over some player because they're more important. And so that's why, for me, for a while, it was a little disjointed there.
Yeah, I agree with that. Okay, Mark, hiring can be a slow process. Cafe Altura's COO, Dylan Miskowitz, needed to hire a director of coffee for his organic coffee company, but he was having trouble finding qualified applicants. So he switched to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its technology identifies people with the right experiences and invites them to apply to your job, so you get qualified candidates fast. Dylan posted his job on ZipRecruiter and said he was impressed by how quickly he had great candidates apply. He also used ZipRecruiter's candidate rating feature to filter his applicants so he could focus on the most relevant ones. And that's how Dylan found his new director of coffee in just a few days. With results like that, it's no wonder that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/firstcut. That's ZipRecruiter.com/FIRSTCUT. ZipRecruiter.com/firstcut. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. I got a couple of guys, Mark, that might be hiring some PR people here in the near future to go to war in the media. Rory and Brooks getting after it.
Boy.
It was kind of fun. Brooks has asked at the CJ Cup about Rory. And Rory had actually said this after the Tour Championship about kind of a rivalry. And I don't know that he was trying to make it into a big deal. I think he was more talking about, I mean, look, they're the top two players in the world. And Brooks had beaten him in Memphis, and he had clipped him at the Tour Championship. So I don't think he was trying to make it into like a historic thing. I think he was just talking about kind of what's going on currently, which I thought was fair. And then Brooks at the CJ Cup said, look, there's no rivalry. He hasn't won a major in 5 years. He hasn't won a major since I've been out here, and I'm number one in the world. And you're like, okay, I guess we're doing this. What was your take from Brooks's comments?
Well, I wasn't really surprised. You know, this is the same guy, and it was one of the great comments of the year, still in my opinion. You were there, I was there in the press center at the PGA Championship there at Bethpage Black, where Brooks sits down. He goes, well, look, 100 and something guys in the field, 75 of those guys, there's no chance they're winning. There's another 30 that are just happy to finish in the top 25, and he basically whittles it down to about 10 guys. I think it was, or whatever the number was. And he goes, so I've just basically got to beat 9 or 10 guys, and I've got this thing locked. And so it sort of speaks to his mindset. And it's a guy who is ultimately very self-confident and not afraid to say what everyone else is thinking. So I think that maybe there was some context lost to what he said. But the truth of it is that, I mean, since he's been on tour, it is the case. Now, I think there's a rivalry, and I think you and I and everyone else in the media wants to make some more of it than it is because they're good buddies. But what he said, I mean, that's not stretching the truth or anything like that, really.
Yeah, and that's essentially how Rory responded. He said, look, this is true, and basically I wish it wasn't true. And he kind of – I thought Rory had an opportunity to kind of jab back at him. I mean – Rory's the player of the year. If you look statistically, Rory was a lot better in 2019, if you just look at strokes gained. But he is, I think, smart enough to know that none of that stuff would play very well. And so he sort of gave Brooks an out and said, look, don't take what he said out of context. Let's just not make it into something that it's not. And I thought that was a pretty diplomatic way of sort of ending the conversation. However, I think there's a world in which Rory might file this one away. And if it comes up later on that at a Ryder Cup, at a major, you're going to hear that one again for sure.
April 2020. You know McIlroy is going to be there. There's every likelihood that Brooks will be there. I mean, I'm concerned a bit about what this knee debacle is that he's got going on, because knees and elbows and wrists are a big deal for golfers. So is a back, but any joint is bad. So, but this thing is going to come back to roost here in April. Of that, I am convinced, and you can quote me on that.
Well, I think it's interesting. I was talking to some guys about this. I think we were talking at the U.S. Open at Pebble last year, and it's like Brooks talks a lot, not in terms of like the number of words that he says, but just the things that he is about, and he's very brash about stuff, which is great. I love it. I think it's awesome, but at some point, you're not going to be the number one golfer in the world. You're gonna start playing poorly, and I'm curious to see like how this goes for him, because I think there's a scenario in which fans or people in golf sort of like, I don't know about turn on him, but they're just like, yeah, this stuff isn't as cool when you're shooting 75s and not 65s.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I was on the course there at Bethpage Black in the final round. I mean, I had the Dustin Johnson group, and he's making it a run, and Brooks is in behind there and starts stumbling, and he was like the golden child. He could do no wrong for a while, Brooks. And then DJ makes a run, and all of a sudden, Brooks is public enemy number one. I mean, this, it's like someone flipped the switch with that New York crowd, and you're right, things turn pretty fast. But right now, you know, I think it's cool for the fall. It's nice to have someone speaking their mind a little bit. You know, this is what we all want, in truth, and we like a little spiciness to what's going on the PGA Tour. So, yeah, it'll probably come back. No one plays perfectly all of the time, but
yeah,
you know, let's just live today and enjoy today, because I think it's fun to talk about this stuff.
Who do you think wins more tournaments this year, 2019, 2020, Brooks or Rory? This season, PGA Tour season.
This one wasn't in the script that you offered me.
No, I like to catch you off guard, Mark. You know this.
It's a really tough question, and I'm not sitting the fence over here. But you never know. Right now, as we currently sit, and because I wish I knew the future, because then I would have won the lottery a few times and you wouldn't hear from me right now, because I'd be disappeared somewhere. As we sit right now, I think McIlroy wins more, just because of the way they're playing and because there's some doubts about Brooks's health. So I'm going McIlroy, but that's on current form.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think the knee thing is interesting, because Brooks acted like it wasn't a big deal after it got worked on post tour championship, and now that he's pulled out of the CJ Cup, and who knows what's going on. I don't know. I'm curious to see if that's something to monitor going forward.
There was something in the statement that concerned me, and that was that he was going back to it was the part, he had the stem injections obviously made, and he was talking about how painful that was to go through. But what concerned me in the statement was he slipped on a cement floor, and that aggravated an old knee injury. So clearly there must have been some weakness there. And then the statement went further that he was going back home for further tests. Now, when there are further tests being done, that's never good news by any stretch of the imagination. So that was concerning to me when I read that, to say, okay, this is not just your regular, you know, kind of sprained my knee or something like that. I think this is, there's something to this.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, we got one more thing we want to talk about, but first let's hear again from our sponsor.
It's a really fine line creating workout clothes that are great in the gym and workout clothes that are also great to look at outside the gym. And Vuori has threaded that needle. They are designed to work out in, but they don't look like it. They don't feel like it. And it's incredibly comfortable stuff, whether you are running, training, swimming, doing yoga, running errands, lounging around the house. It really doesn't matter. These are versatile clothes. You'll find me often in the men's Sunday performance jogger because I like the jogger situation that goes on down at the bottom, but they're very comfortable. They've got a little bit of a shorter inseam, so they're not as bulky as other pants or other joggers that I have seen out there, and I've really enjoyed how they work both in and out of the gym. So now, here's what you can do for our listeners. First-time purchasers are getting 20% off. All you have to do is go to viori.com/first. That's viori.com/first. Again, not only will you receive 20% off your first order, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75. And here's my favorite part, free returns. Yeah, go check it out. Viori.com/first and discover the versatility of Viori clothing. Did you know that more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Those numbers do not add up to me, and I know it can be confusing, the biomechanics of the foot, the bones, the muscles, everything in between, but solving foot pain is simple, and that's where Superfeet comes into play. These Superfeet insoles go into your shoes, give your feet comfort and support where they need it the most, and redistribute the forces that reduce both stress and strain through your entire body, not just your feet. Insoles have been phenomenal for me personally, and they are clinically proven to decrease fatigue, reduce injury, and improve comfort. I can attest to that myself, especially when walking a lot of golf holes that I play. So if you feel good, you play good, you look good, everything works out from there, and it starts from the bottom up. Visit superfeet.com and enter promo code FIRST at checkout for 15% off your first order plus free shipping.
Okay, Mark, let's pretend like we live in a world in which you were made the director of next year's MGM middle of the night Japan skins game. And you get to mic everybody up and you tell them, we're not going to bleep anything. Nothing is off limits. We're going to air this on digital only. There's no regulations. Let's go. What four guys are you picking to put into a skins game with real trash talk, with guys saying whatever they want?
You got to go Pat Perez first. I mean, he's a given. He's highly quotable all of the time, and he's not afraid of the ramifications. Phil Mickelson is an all-timer. I mean, we've seen that with Firesides with Phil and all this other stuff that he's doing. So I think the two of them, and then, I don't know, there's a wide net that you can cast. I'd want to give an honorable mention and maybe an invite to Kip Henley, who is a caddy, is especially vocal, and he's always out there on social media picking fights with all and sundry, or not fights, just calling folks out. And so, you know, he's not afraid to kind of make the real sort of trashy statement to a sledging statement is the word we would use in South Africa, where, you know, like if I was playing against X dude, I'd say, well, man, that's not a very good shot. And the real sledging would come back and go, well, yeah, Mark, whatever, your hairline's receding. You know, it's that kind of stuff where you really dig under the guy's skin some. So I think Kip Henley would be a good one. And further than that, I think you go Phil and Perez, and then you can just have extra mics around them and no holds barred.
Yeah. I don't know that you would even need to tell Perez that whether you're bleeping stuff or not. I think he would just say whatever anyway. I went Phil. I went Pat Perez. I went Kuchar. I think Kuchar would say some just vile things that would be really funny and inappropriate.
With a smile on his face, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yes, yes. And then I went Stinson. I feel like Stinson would not say very much, but he would say the most memorable stuff. I think he would be great. I think those four together would be... I think Stinson would get at Phil and Kuchar in a way that would be really entertaining and really hilarious. And then Perez would just be kind of the sideshow. Well, I would love it. I think that would be awesome.
You get me thinking a little bit now, because now I'm thinking out of the box. And my good friend Ernie Els, man, he is quick with a jab. And some of them can be quite incisive. And then the late, great Seve Ballesteros. I mean, the stories about him have grown their own legs, the stuff he used to do. So, I mean, if you were going back in the day, there's some real great ones you could insert in this game.
Yeah, I think Ernie, if you got him with guys that he's better than, which is most everyone except for like Tiger and maybe Phil, I think he'd be awesome. I think he would. I think he would say some stuff to like a JT or a Spieth, that because he wouldn't really care. He's like, whatever. I'll kick your ass if you say anything anyway. So, he would be great.
Speaking of never really caring, I'm scrolling through the PGAtour.com website right now, and Tyrrell Hatton's social media feed just showed up.
Yeah,
I mean, you got to have that guy in there. He is a wild child.
Yeah, they should put you and me in charge, right, and then we would draft teams and play this thing out. It would be awesome.
Well, look, we can't discount Tiger. He is, from what I've heard, the ultimate, you know, when it comes to, you know, underhanded jabs and such like that, because, you know, he's just got the leg up on everybody. But Phil, you must. Perez, you must. And I think this could be quite fun. I mean, let's lobby someone somewhere.
Yeah, for sure. You and I will caddy. We'll cover it, whatever they want. Okay, Mark. Good stuff, man. Enjoy your week, and we will reconvene next week to talk about the Zozo Championship.
More night golf for you and me now.
Yeah, I know. I got to avoid the tornadoes here in Dallas so I can stay up and watch some golf. Should be fun. Great field. I will be back to preview that later on in the week, and then you and I will recap it beginning of next week.
All right, buddy. You take care.
Okay, talk to you later.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.